Welcome to the Slow Living Podcast. If you are ready to ditch hustle culture for good while continuing to meet your personal and professional goals, you are in the right place. I'm your host, Stephanie O'Day, and I work with overachievers from all over the world who are ready to stop living life in triage mode and start living the life of their dreams, one filled with abundance, joy, and a sense of purpose. Life is meant to be enjoyed, not endured. Let's get started. Hi there, Slow Down Society. Steph here, and welcome back to another edition of the Slow Living Podcast. Today, you're going to meet Shelly, and Shelly is the third of a three-part kind of series on real people doing real coaching, and she was brave and forthright and forthcoming and reached out for coaching right away. And when she wrote to me, she says, "I'm kind of all over the place and I'm an open book. So I would love to have another pair of eyeballs on my brain." And that's essentially what coaching is all about, is just someone else listening to you and watching your thoughts bounce around and helping you sort of corral them to help you come up with a plan to get you from where you are to where you want to go. So Shelly was super brave. And so thank you for listening and for cheering her on. And thank you so much for tuning into this series. I'd love to hear from you. And if you have thoughts for Shelly and want me to pass along notes to her or messages, I will absolutely do that to protect her privacy. I'm not going to give you her email address, but I can pass it along. And if she wants to reach out to you, she will. Okay. So this is, the first part of session one. Shelly and I have not worked together, and we did not do any coaching at all before this series that I recorded 6 weeks in a row began. Like the past sessions, this is a one-hour coaching session, and we will break it up into two podcast episodes just so it's easier for you to follow along at home. All right. Thanks so much. And here is Shelly. Hi there. Okay.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning, Shelly. Thanks for being here.
I appreciate you having me on. I'm excited.
Okay. Well, I know you and I have emailed back and forth, and then we had a call last week, but this is the first quote unquote official coaching session. So how are you feeling?
Good. I don't really know what to expect. This is not something I've ever done before, but, when I saw your email come across, it just sounded intriguing, and I'm kind of in this kind of flux in my life, I guess.
Yeah. So let's talk about that flux.
So I am just getting ready to turn 60, starting a brand new job with people that I work for the last 13 years, but it's a completely new industry. So yeah, I'm going to be using all my brain power to learn a whole new industry.
Okay.
So there's that. I've got aging parents.
Yeah. So on a day-to-day basis, what does your day look like right now?
So I get up, do my morning chores, which is taking care of all of the animals, making sure the house is straightened up. And then I get ready and head off to work, which thankfully is only a few miles from where I live. And then I work all day, come home, make dinner, clean up, and go to bed and take care of the animals again.
Yeah. Talk to me about your animals. What do you have in your house right now?
So I've got three large dogs. Two cats, two indoor cats, a couple of wild feral cats that I've adopted since the other neighbors moved away, and a turtle.
And a turtle.
And we do a lot of dog sitting. It seemed to be a couple of weeks ago, I had two extra dogs that were 200 pounds each for a week. That was a little much.
Wait, 200 pounds?
Yes.
What dogs?
They're mastiffs.
Oh, wow. I had no idea that they got that big.
They're huge. We don't have that big of a house. So that's always interesting. And they slobber a lot. Our friends, they drop off the dogs and a bag of rags. So
That's yeah.
it's
So Sheldon is only 46 pounds, but since he's a basset, he drools a lot. And I ended up buying a 12-pack of washcloths, so they're just kind of all over the house. And the kids
That's
know, yeah, the green ones are
exactly.
Sheldon's. Don't use the
Yeah,
green ones.
the other dogs are they're older. Like generally speaking, like my husband gets up a lot earlier than I do. He's usually up between 4:30 and 5. So he does round one where he feeds the dogs. And when I get up, then I take care of the cats. So we kind of go back and forth like that. So that's a good mix.
So right now, when you're in the middle of this flux and you're going to change jobs, and there's a lot of good things about it. It's a closer commute. Things are working out well. What made you decide, okay, this is it. I want a little bit of help and direction.
Well, the last year has been because what had happened, I had worked for the same company for 13 years, loved it, very happy, and they sold the company to a much larger corporation, huge corporation, and so that was scary in itself, thinking that I was going to have to completely start over. You know, and who wants to do that at 60? Then so the new buyers were based out of Ohio. I am in California. They did offer me, they wanted me to move out there, but the weather was not conducive to, I'm born and raised in Southern California. But they did agree to let me try remote and with traveling back and forth to Ohio. That lasted for me about just under a year, and it just was not for me. I'm used to the company I work for was a husband and wife engineering team, a dozen shop guys and me. Loved it. The new corporation was 400 employees, and I wasn't enjoying it. It was horrible. It was just meeting after meeting after meeting with just corporate speak and nothing getting done. And they were just driving down the quality of the company, our company that they purchased. And so I couldn't take it. So I quit. I mean, they just little things like micromanaging, monitoring your emails. And then they would read your emails and then send you an email. And say, why did you say this to so and so? And I'm like, well, that's creepy. Well, you know, I've been doing this job successfully for 13 years, and I'm a large part of the success of the sales. So it just wasn't for me. So I quit. Then I went into another panic spin because what am I going to do? I quit. I couldn't get unemployment. And then my previous employers to the rescue bought a new business. And said, would you like to come back? And I said, yes. So that's where I'm at now. So I previously worked for a company that made propellers for airplanes. Now I'm working for a company that makes landing gears. So yeah, so the whole last year was just like, it was just my job was so unstable and I just was just hated it. I spent every single day ended in tears.
When you quit and you didn't have a plan in place, did that feel like a relief? Or, I mean, you talk about going into a panic spiral. So, has this,
Well,
is
it was
this
at
like
the
a pattern that you've done before?
no, I never, I stayed all my jobs are forever. It was the biggest relief, super big relief. But then when the reality hits, like, I don't have a job now. You know, it's just, what am I going to do? But I just have to, you know, trust it's all going to work out. Now that I think, but the previous job that I worked at, I worked for my dad's manufacturing company. And the only reason I left there is because he was killed in a car accident, and that effectively ended the business that night.
Not your dad, the owner of the previous.
No, it was my dad that owned the business.
But
My
who was killed? Because you're
dad.
not. Oh, I'm so
Yeah,
sorry.
so well, it's been a while, but that was my previous job, so that's how
Oh,
I
I'm
lost.
so sorry
Yeah, so
because you've been taking care of your dad, so I didn't realize.
my
I'm keep.
biological dad. Yeah.
Okay, sorry. I'm a little. I'm reading your notes about how you're caring for your dad. So
Yeah,
okay.
so that's my biological dad that I did not grow up
Okay,
with.
got it.
Yeah, that's another fun fact. So I didn't meet my biological dad till I was an adult, and now I'm taking care of him.
Okay.
Because I'm nice.
Wow.
So
Okay.
yeah, so that's the only reason I left my previous job, or else I would probably still be working for my dad's company. But without him, everything literally overnight fell apart. So I tend to stay at my jobs forever, for as long as you will let me. I don't want to change. I like stability.
Okay. So that said, you must want a little bit of change right now. So what would change look like if it was in a sustainable and steady way?
Right now I feel like I'm just in such a, all I do is get up, do chores, go to work, come home, and I'm in bed by 8 o'clock. I'd like to have a little bit more of a life.
Okay. So it feels like you're in a rut.
Yeah.
Okay. And you'd like more joy and sparkle.
Yes, for sure.
Okay. Do you feel like after you learn the ropes in this new job, there will be more wiggle room and time for margin?
Yes and no. I enjoy working for small companies, but on the downside of working for a small company is it's much harder to take time off because you're the only person there. And so sometimes that can be a problem. There's always a lot of, and because I've been working with them for so long, I do a lot more personally for them. I mean, it's not unusual for me to, pick their daughter up for them from support. Not that I, but they pay me, although they
Yeah.
wouldn't need to because I love their daughter. But, so there's a lot of little things when you work for a small company. It's just much harder to take time off because
Okay.
you're just always trying to coordinate with them. So,
That makes
yes, but
sense.
I feel like I'm going to get a little bit more settled. Yes, I feel like going into this new company, it won't be as critical for me to be there for the full, I'll have a little bit more flexible hours because I won't be dealing with the general public. Previously, I had to be there 8 to 9 hours a day because I was the face of the company dealing with customers. Now we deal with bigger companies, not the end user. So that's a
Okay.
positive too.
When it comes to taking time off, I would imagine all normal holidays and like a regular 10 days vacation or something throughout the course of the year.
Yes, we get 6 holidays and I get 5 days. But
Okay.
and I'll tell you, but the only re and I had to fight for that 5 days because
Okay.
they do not offer vacation time to their employees.
Okay, so that means then if you took a personal day outside of that, you just wouldn't get paid for it. You don't work,
Yeah.
you don't get paid. Okay.
Which has never been a problem because if I need a day off, I need a day off.
Got it. Okay. What would it feel like moving into this next chapter and this next role to proactively plan on days off?
Ooh. I would be something I've never done before.
Yeah, because what I don't want is for you to, I have no choice. I have to take a day off because I'm burnt out.
Yes.
I'd rather you go in and be like, oh, okay, in 3 weeks from now, I've got a day where I could sleep all day or veg all day or binge watch TV and it's fine. Nobody's going to get mad at me because I have this personal time. Like it might make those 3 week chunks or whatever feel.
Yeah, that would be something totally different. I mean, I do plan, I have a usually once a year, I have a long weekend with some girlfriends from out of state. But just even working up to the, even though that's maybe planned way in advance, just the time come working up to it is so stressful knowing that I'm going to be off. Oh. And that's
Okay.
my own internal, like, that somebody's
Okay.
going to be mad at me because I'm not there. And
Okay. Okay. So here's the thing. It sounds harsh, but if you get hit by a bus, they're gonna have to replace you.
coaching with Steph has taught me to see the boundary between what is my responsibility and what belongs to others, and to see that the things in my control are my responses and my decisions. I am not in control of others, their perceptions, and what they think or feel. These lessons have proven to have lightened my mental load, and I love that I can continue to practice these lessons as I move through life. Steph's voice is one in my head that I don't feel the need to evict. Give Steph a chance. You'll appreciate your time with her.
So there has to be like quote unquote sub plans. When Shelly's not here, this is what happens. And so what I would like is to start wrapping your mind around taking care of yourself and meeting your needs, and then creating maybe it's a Google folder or an actual physical folder on the desk that these are the different things that happen. So if you aren't there, you don't have to worry about it because it's all been out of your brain. And I get what you're talking about is sometimes it's so much work to create, like, I'm just going to use sub plans for lack of a better term, and everyone can envisualize sub plans. It is a lot of work, but once it's in place, it's in place. And then you only need to tweak here and there. But I don't like that you're doing full-fledged burnout and then needing a break in order to kind of recover. And then it's like kind of like when you're sprinting and you're like, okay, I'm gonna catch my breath. And that's
I
not a
was,
fun way.
just like last year when I got in the middle of all this company transition that I got diagnosed with breast cancer, another fun thing. And then so I took one day off after, I had a
Okay.
lumpectomy,
Okay.
and then I was back at
So,
work. So, I mean, it's,
yeah. So that's first off, wow. That is a huge diagnosis and a huge life change. And some people decide on purpose to keep working because they know that will fulfill them and give them energy to get through the treatment and all of the different things. And
See,
they
I was
choose.
kind of thinking, looking forward to, like, dang it, I'm going to get some days off,
Okay. So then,
which is
yeah. So,
horrible, which is a horrible way to feel.
okay. All right. So I think we need to work on creating some boundaries here, because even though you like your job and it's a small company and you want to be there for them, and you do get a lot of personal satisfaction in meeting that role, no one would wish someone who just had a lumpectomy to not be able to take some time off to contemplate this huge, massive thing that's happening to you. No one would wish that on you. Yeah. So it's sort of like mapping out what's the worst case scenario. Well, the worst case scenario is you get fired, and it doesn't sound like that would happen. Yeah. It feels good to be needed.
Well, just until I just said it out loud, now it sounds
I
really
know.
weird that I only took one day off.
No, that's okay. So first off, please know that I'm not judging you in any
No, I
way.
know. It's just I've
Okay.
never said it out loud and said it
Oh,
back. Like, when
sweetheart.
I hear it, like,
That's okay. That's okay. That's okay. I'm sorry. Okay. I have absolutely no judgment for you. And if you're feeling sad for Shelly of a few months ago for having to go through that, then yes, you should absolutely honor all of that. And in a way, it is a little absurd and silly. Like, oh,
it is.
okay.
Like, I know, but I said, I'm like, God dang, why didn't I just take a few days off?
Well, so you had written in that you are working on permission to do nothing. Yeah. What does doing nothing look like to you?
laying on the couch and binge watching Hallmark movies.
I would like that for you. I would like that for you, especially when you start kind of daydreaming about the future and what maybe going eventually, not for a while, but maybe in 3 to 5 years instead of 5 days a week, maybe it's 4 days a week. And then you do that for a few years, and then maybe it's 3 days a week. So kind of tiptoeing into retirement, in a way that feels good. So then when you do have these house projects and different decluttering things that you want to do, you have the energy and bandwidth to do them. Because if you're burnt out, you don't want to do those things on your day off. You want to watch Hallmark movies.
Exactly. I like that idea of just going less and less. Because this, I during this last couple of months, and I after I quit, and then I was, my previous employers kept me working a little bit part time to make sure I had some money coming in. And it's, God, it was what a concept to be able to sleep until my body woke up, which is for normally would be between 6:30 and 7. But man, did that feel good. And then to get up and actually, have breakfast and coffee without rushing. I love that. Love that. I love that for myself.
I do too. The dog watching and different things that you are doing, is that for money or are people paying you?
No, but like when we took care of the neighbor's dogs, our neighbor's a plumber. So.
Ah, so there's a little. I'll scratch your back, you scratch mine.
So it's always kind of nice, and yeah, they're good people. So whenever we can trade work for work, I'll do it. I'll be inconvenienced. It's just good. Like my husband's a roofer, so he's got a good skill to trade too. But
Absolutely.
so usually it's either those neighbors' dogs or and my boss's dog comes over a lot, but she's just another lab, so it's just. It's kind of like kids. Once you get like past that 2 to 3 mark, you don't really notice a whole lot more. Except for we have a small house and you're stepping over them all the time. So,
Yeah,
other than
the
that,
herd kind of takes care of themselves. Yeah. When you think of working, is it fulfilling in a way that it sort of meets a lot of your like social needs and identity needs, or is it just a place you go and it gives you money?
Mostly it's just a job. I mean, previously I did, I, well, I say that now, but when I was working for the propeller company, towards the end, when I ended up being, I was just the face of the company. I did all of the sales. I did all the service. I was helping people install propellers on their airplanes and airboats. I love my customers. Had like, it's just such a good, like that was the saddest part about the company being sold. And then my customers still text me on my personal phone and call me. They will email me because they hear something's going on out here in California like a wildfire and they're worried. So I had a very close. I mean, I feel like I know most of my customers' kids. I know most of them, their spouses' names. I'm a people person, even though I always try to deny it. I will deny it, but. I was good at it, and I once I learned a pro, I worked hard at learning the product. So that back then, yes, it was absolutely fulfilling and social aspect. But it's going to be, like I said, different now because I won't be dealing with end users. But yeah, towards it is just a job. I just don't. That's not where I get my identity from. It's not some job that I'm going to be moving up in. It's, I enjoy it, which is good. It's good not to hate your job. I didn't like when the company got sold, I dreaded every morning. I woke up with dread. So I enjoy going in. I like the guys that my shop guys love them. But yeah, it's not, that's definitely my job is not my identity at all.
How would you How would you identify yourself?
Probably more just with the relationship with my family, my husband.
You wrote that you're a people pleaser.
Definitely.
Do you look at that as a positive or a negative?
It's probably mostly negative. I definitely do not know how to say no.
Do you feel at times that you're being taken advantage of and feel a little doormatty?
Yeah, probably most, yeah. Because I hate confrontation.
Okay. What does confrontation look like?
Just any kind of pushback of like if I don't want to do something, and I gently tell somebody, no, that's not going to work for me, and they just start pushing back, and then I'll just cave and be
And
fine.
then
Then
how
I'm
do you?
resentful.
Okay. So you resent them for pushing back, and then also are you mad at yourself?
Yes. But mostly I think I get more resentful of people that push back. It's like, I said no.
So if you would feel resentful, but then also you still want them to like you because you're gonna allow, I mean,
Yeah.
do you care if people you don't even like you?
Yeah. I'm getting better as I get older and not caring so much.
Yeah.
But
I get that. It's tricky. I don't like a
yeah.
lot of people, but I still kind of want everybody to like me.
Yeah, exactly. Because I'm
Yeah.
nice.
You are nice.
Why shouldn't they?
You're pretty amazing. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So another thing you had written down that a big part of your life right now is caregiving for elderly parents.
Yes, well, I feel like it. I'm definitely learning. I'm trying to learn. Like I said, I take care of, it's my biological dad. His hobbies are doctor's appointments and surgeries.
Those are his hobbies.
Pretty much. He's 83 and he just had elective surgery and just had both of his feet reconstructed. Very long, drawn out recovery. This month he will have three surgeries, and he does not have a car. So because he did not make good life choices, I've given him two cars. So the first one I gave him, like when I bought myself a car, I gave him my previous car. That first one, he sold it within a couple of months, to get the money. And then the second one, he caught on fire. So now he's without a car, and I can't afford to give him a car. I can barely afford to drive myself, especially out
Yeah.
here in California. So, which means, and all of his and his doctor's appointments are all almost an hour away because he will only go to what he perceives as rich people hospitals.
Okay.
And so it's just he's just got a lot. He's got a lot of baggage. I have gotten some relief there where he's gotten someone that's going to get paid to take him to do a lot of things for him. Not that I have a lot of confidence in this person that they're actually going to follow through, but I have to let that go.
Are
He
you
chose them.
responsible for his finances?
No. No.
With your adopted dad dying in the car accident and then the biological dad, I mean, talk about Hallmark movie. Have you unpacked all of that? Have you worked with a therapist? Do you think you've healed from that kind of trauma?
Oh yeah. I did like my the dad I was raised when my parents got divorced, my mom divorced my biological dad. I think I was like two. And she remarried a few years after that to my dad that raised us. So
Okay.
I did not have any kind of lacking. I had an intact family, even though it was they're a little crazy, but so I had a mom and a dad, and I just didn't know. My biological dad was very bitter. He's a very bitter person, still bitter. He hates women to this day. He just felt everything was always like, oh, poor me, it's all against me, the world hates me. So I did not. So and I have an older brother. I had an older brother, and so the two of us had the same biological dad. And my older brother is the one that kind of brought him back into our lives, because I think boys just have a so much harder time with divorce and that kind of stuff. They're just, sorry, they're a little bit weaker when it comes to that stuff. So that's when he came back. Because I mean, we literally did not know him growing up. He
Okay.
never paid child support, nothing. And he hid. He literally would hide from my mom. However, he would come out of the woodwork anytime the dad that raised us would try to adopt us. All of a sudden, he would come out of the woodwork to put the kibosh on that. So I finally got adopted when I was like 28.
Wow, what
So,
an interesting story.
yeah. So me and
So
my old brother, yeah, we're he was like 30. So,
how does that feel to be fought for?
it was annoying. It was,
What?
it's like this is like somebody you don't know, and it's like, look, bitter old man, especially when when you're a teenager. And my mom never, not once, said a bad word about him. Never. She would never badmouth him. But I mean, somebody's, they're just not around. But like I said, I
Yeah.
didn't miss him. But yeah,
Okay,
it
so.
was aggravating to, because you think, because we use the name of my dad that raised us our whole lives, because, but although it was never my legal name. So I'm trying to get the real ID right now. Let me tell you,
Yeah.
I got to get divorce papers, marriage, adoption paper, birth certificate, because none of my, I
Yeah.
have so many names.
So I can see from a teenage and young adult standpoint, your biological dad standing in the way of your chosen dad to adopt you, was annoying. When I asked, how did it feel to be fought for? I meant by, I mean, the way I was thinking in my brain is this adopted dad didn't give up and he kept fighting for you all the way until you're 28 and you're a full-fledged grown-up at 28. You can't even be on people's health care
I
anymore.
know.
I
No,
mean,
that's no
that's
kid.
pretty amazing.
Yeah, no, he, yeah, he, like I said, he was my dad, and it was always offensive because I did with him. I have a younger sister and a younger brother, and the biggest thing that used to irritate me is anybody that would refer to us as half siblings. It's like, ew, ew.
Yeah. And you're a whole person. You're a full-fledged
Yeah.
human. Yeah. I can see how that would be upsetting. Yeah. Okay. Steph here. I'm gonna stop this first recording with Shelley. So this will be the end of part one of the two-part of our first session with Shelley. And I just want to really acknowledge how much she is sharing and how unpacking family stuff can be sticky and kind of uncomfortable. And Shelley is very matter of fact about it, and it's pretty admirable. So send her some positive vibes. If you want to reach out to her and email her, do so through me, and I will pass it along. Before I completely end this airing, I want to drop a few past podcast episodes because a lot came up from her past. And if some of this resonates with you and you want to dive a little deeper, there's some past podcast episodes that may be of help to you. So, episode 25, Caring for the Caregiver, episode 33, Healing from Childhood Trauma. And healing is sort of in quotes, but I walk you through some steps on how you can kind of revisit your inner child and talk to her and comfort her in a soothing way. Episode 50, dealing with toxic people. There are times when you just can't get away from them. And so I walk you through how to kind of step into a barrier zone when you're dealing with someone that you may deem toxic. And then 57, protecting your energy. I want all of you to know that as far as I'm concerned, you are the most important person in the room. And my hope is that you protect yourself as much as possible from all of the stuff and all of the uncomfortableness that life throws your way. And so I want you to envision yourself as a cell, and you are the nucleus. And no matter what, we're going to protect you. Okay, pretty people, as always, consider yourself loved and hugged. And thanks so much for being here. And thank you to Shelly for sharing. We'll be back next week in your earbuds for the second part of session one with Shelly. If you are ready to start living slowly and ditch the hustle mindset for good, reach out to me. I'm a real person and you can track me down online at stephanieoday.com. Also, if you found value in this podcast, please share it with your family and friends and tag me on Instagram at Stephanie O'Day. While you're at it, go ahead and leave a positive review on your favorite podcast app. The more we share, like, the more people we can reach and share the slowed down lifestyle and messaging. Thank you, Slow Down Society, and have a great day.